It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
So much that we need to know, so little time to share it, and yet here I am giving a big buildup instead of getting right to it. Well, President Trump has made another nomination, this time to lead FEMA. Boy, didn't we have somebody leading FEMA? Yeah, she didn't do too good. So he nominated Cameron Hamilton Monday to lead the Federal Emergency Management Agency, a notable comeback for the former Navy SEAL who was fired from his role as FEMA's temporary leader last year after he defended its existence. That makes sense. That part makes sense. The part that he's being nominated again makes no sense. The part where if you go against the administration and you defend something against their wishes, they fire you. But to bring him back, well, his nomination comes as the Trump administration has increasingly signaled it is backing away from promises to dismantle FEMA, an agency that has faced withering criticism by the president. The nomination of Hamilton, who argued abolishing FEMA was not in the country's best interest, is the latest indication of the change. Yeah, that was another one of those Doge things where we're going to get rid of FEMA and let the states handle it. Well, as you know, if you are in the middle of a natural disaster, whether it's flooding like we've had here in Wisconsin last year and this year, or whether it's a hurricane or tornadoes or wildfires, the states are not equipped financially to fully battle that on their own. We need federal help, and that's what FEMA is known for. Now, have they always run smoothly? Absolutely not. I'm looking at you, Hurricane Katrina, and others, but it is a necessary agency. So if confirmed, Hamilton will be the principal advisor to the president and Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen on emergency management and FEMA's first permanent administrator in Trump's second term. The agency has gone through three temporary leaders, including Hamilton's brief tenure from January to May of last year. He would take over an agency that is still reeling from Kristi Noem's turbulent leadership of the Department of Homeland Security, of which FEMA is a part. FEMA's workforce has been worn down by mass staff departures, policies that hamstrung operations, and a 75-day-long DHS shutdown that ended at the end of April. Hamilton will need to ensure the agency is prepared for summer disaster season, just weeks away from hurricane season starting, while answering to Trump, who is likely to expect major reforms after a council he appointed recommended sweeping changes last Friday. And if we know the president, we know he will be nothing if not patient, waiting for those changes to be implemented. Right. Now, Hamilton had never been a state or local emergency management director before. He had publicly criticized FEMA in the past, was a controversial choice the first time he was named in January of 2025. His friction with DHS officials began as he defended a federal role in supporting disaster-impacted states, tribes, and territories. DHS officials even subjected him to a polygraph test, accusing him and other officials of leaking details of a private meeting. He passed those polygraphs, but said he knew his dismissal was inevitable, and at a May 7th appearance before the House Appropriations Committee, Representative Rosa DeLauro, and a Connecticut Democrat, asked Hamilton if he believed FEMA should be abolished. This is the statement that got him in trouble. He said, "I do not believe it is in the best interest of the American people to eliminate the Federal Emergency Management Agency." The next day, he was fired. But now he's back. Maybe. He's being nominated again. It's one more thing where this administration cannot make up their mind, acts in a rash manner, then either has to backpedal or try in another way to cover up a decision that they made by telling us they didn't make it and it was something else. And I'm sure we'll hear something about Hamilton having learned his lesson. I'm sure that will come from the president in some way. It's just a prediction. Take it for what it's worth. If you're on a poly market, maybe you put a couple bucks on it. But I would say he learned his lesson is going to be part of this new nomination process. Coming a little closer to home on You Need to Know, Racine County and two juvenile detention center staff members in Caledonia have been sued for allegedly using excessive force on a teen. In a statement, the county says it has made changes since this alleged incident. The teen's mother, Kiana Reed, brought the lawsuit against the county, and Robert and Jordan Knight, described in the suit as former and current security coordinators. The facility, the Jonathan Delgrave Youth Development and Care Center, opened less than a month before the incident is alleged to have happened. The lawsuit alleges that on May 27th last year, a teen who suffers from emotional and psychological disabilities became emotionally dysregulated, and the Knights egged him on and physically attacked him with excessive force that violated his Eighth Amendment rights. Now, in December, the state public defender's office released video footage of part of the incident, which appeared to show four staff members directing the then 15-year-old to move from a spot by the wall in the hallway, possibly to a nearby room, and the teen not moving. That is according to the Wisconsin Examiner. After a staff member took a swing at the teen, the situation devolved into a struggle. The teen was struck repeatedly by staff before and after he was on the ground. The lawsuit then says that his placement in the facility stemmed from being found guilty of a misdemeanor count of retail theft and a misdemeanor count of obstructing an officer. The lawsuit also alleges that the teen did not punch, kick, or otherwise try to injure the Knights during the incident. Robert and Jordan Knight hit him over 20 times with closed fists, knee strikes, and elbow strikes. On Friday, the Wisconsin Examiner asked the district attorney's office for a statement on why the office declined to pursue prosecution. District Attorney Tricia Hansen said in an email that the lawsuit does not change her decision. She said the burden of proof in a criminal case is significantly higher than in a civil case. In December, the public defender's office called for a full-scale investigation into conditions at the facility and the qualifications of staff members. In its statement last Friday, the county said it will respond to the allegations through the legal process and will not further discuss the pending lawsuit. All right. Well, we'll discuss it, and then we'll follow it and see what happens. Continuing on. Good news today, possibly for some businesses, because the first wave of tariff refunds are going to reach some American businesses today, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. The government launched an online portal last month where companies could file to get money back for tariffs that they paid that were ruled illegal by the Supreme Court, which said the administration exceeded its authority. Now, more than 330,000 importers paid the tariffs collected under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. That totaled $166 billion. As of April 26, at least 75,000 businesses have applied for refunds. That, according to a court filing, Trump has railed against the Supreme Court 6-3 ruling, including two of the justices he appointed being targets of his venom, Neil Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett. In April, he said he would remember companies that didn't seek a refund. I don't know what that means. I think I know what that means. You probably think you know what that means. And if we all think we know what that means, there's a really good chance with this administration that that's what that means. That he would remember, I remember you did me a good turn. So, whatever. A CPB spokesperson told ABC News about 15% of the claims that have been submitted were rejected, typically just due to incorrect information or ineligible shipments being included on a claim. In recent weeks, major companies like General Motors have said they expect hundreds of millions of dollars in refunds. An analysis by Citi last month found that Walmart is due $10 billion, Target is owed $2 billion, Nike's due about $1 billion, and Macy's is owed $320 million. And you're thinking, oh, that's great, Brian. The businesses are going to get money back, and so we'll get a kickback because we overpaid because they were charging more because of the tariffs. Right? Right? Wrong. Sorry. No money for you, no soup for you, no tariff money for you. Consumers should not expect to see direct refunds. Many companies have said they'll use the refunds from the government to pay down debt, rehire employees, restock inventory, or perhaps lower prices. Yeah, notice how that comes last? We're going to get the money back. And yeah, we raised prices because of the tariffs. And sure, we're getting our money back, but we might lower prices. Maybe not. We'll see. It's less likely they will contact shoppers who paid higher prices over the past year and give money back for those purchases. Yeah, you think? All right, so good news for businesses, same old news for you and me. Now, our final thing today is, and I understand if you're tired of hearing stories about this administration. I get it. But they monopolize the news. This is a big one. Just because it affects a beautiful piece of American history that we've all seen in iconic photos. It's been the site of marches. It's been the site of protests. It's been the site of concerts. Just a beautiful thing. And I'm talking about the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool. A nonprofit organization is attempting to stop the Trump administration's repainting of the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool, alleging the plan, quote, willfully disregards legal limits established by Congress. I don't know if you've started to see this. They're using American flag blue to make it look like the inside of a pool. Now, if you don't know, the reflecting pool is made of granite, and the dark granite reflects the images around it, hence the reflecting pool name. The blue does not, so it's just going to look like a lap pool instead of reflecting not only the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, the trees that line it, just being a beautiful piece of America's backyard, but no. So the Cultural Landscape Foundation filed a lawsuit yesterday in D.C. federal court asking a judge to halt the renovations until the Trump administration gets approval from Congress. The lawsuit alleges about the project, which is part of the president's beautification efforts that include renovations to the White House East Wing, a planned triumphal arch near Arlington National Cemetery. They said every day that the resurfacing continues, the historic character of the reflecting pool is being further and fundamentally altered. Beautification efforts that include renovations are not beautification efforts at all. Because the reflecting pool and surrounding landscape are on the National Register of Historic Places as part of the National Mall Historic District, the lawsuit alleged that the Trump administration should have gotten approval for the changes under Section 106 of the National Historic Preservation Act. We know that does not happen. He does whatever he wants. The latest desecration of the reflecting pool is part of a pattern epitomized most notably by the rush to destroy the East Wing of the White House, in which the administration willfully disregards legal limits established by Congress, the lawsuit alleges. So, spokesperson for the Department of the Interior defended this to ABC News, saying, repainting the pool American flag blue and installing a new filtration system are wonderful additions. Thanks, but no thanks.